Good morning. Open your Bibles with me to Psalm 147. While you're turning, Celeste, thank you for that special. Christ is sufficient. I couldn't help but think Tom Hardy, I remember him preaching a message, and he said, Christ is sufficient. And he said, if you don't know what that means, it means he got the job done. Every time I hear that, I can just hear Tom. I can just hear him saying it. He got the job done. Well, Psalm 147. As Lindsay said, back in January, we purposed to be here. And I planned on bringing a message from Psalm 111. And then again in February, the service got canceled, and that time for the snow and ice, and service was canceled again. But it led me to a few scriptures. That storm, the Lord laid on a few scriptures on my heart, and I thought the snow and the ice, it's now melted. It's gone. I didn't really see a sign of it driving in here this morning. But I believe these passages are still very much relevant. And it's my prayer that Almighty God would enable me this morning by the power of His Spirit to declare the truth, to declare the gospel from these few verses of Scripture here in Psalm 147. Look, beginning with verse 16. He gives snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow, and his waters to flow. Now, I'm not sure what things looked like in Danville a month ago, but I can tell you back home, everything was covered in snow and ice, and then I think it was covered in snow and ice again. And trees fell on the road, trees fell on power lines, the electric was out, schools and businesses closed. Things came to a halt in our area. In fact, we canceled several services because we couldn't get to the building for the trees that had fallen. We had a couple fellas that actually drove as far as they could and then walked out to the building to make sure the water was turned off, that nothing froze up. One night we met one of the men works in a school, and he found a gymnasium that we could on a Wednesday night go and worship at to gather together. But in just a few days, it was all gone. You know, all that snow, all that ice had melted, and with the exception of a few trees laying here and there, and you can recognize those new electric poles are straight instead of leaning over, that there's no sign that even happened. And I've got to say, I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated by the snow. I just think that's a. I've read about it. I can read about it in books, but that's the Lord's. The Lord brings that snow. And remember the Lord. He answered that. Almighty God, He answered Job out of the whirlwind. And He asked him several questions. He said, where were you? Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Well, doesn't that just send chills up your back? Almighty God said that to Job. Where were you, Job? Boy, we know a lot, don't we? We know everything. Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? When it broke forth into and issued out of the womb. He said this to the sea. Hither shalt thou come, and no further. You ever think about that when you're, if you're ever at the ocean, that, those waves, the vastness of that ocean, the power of that sea. You know, you watch those ships raise up and down during a storm, and they disappear out of sight when those waves roll up over it. Yet there on the shore, even a little child can stand up there and play, and that water comes to a point and no further. How is that? Well, God decreed that. That ocean, it's like everything else in it, it's His. It's His. But in verse 22 of Job 38, he asked Job, he said, have you entered in to the treasures of the snow? The treasures of the snow. That which he hides in the clouds, we don't even see it. It's up there in the clouds, and we don't see it until he's pleased to send it. It's his. His sovereign hand in all things. Over in Romans 11, verse 3, it says, the depths and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. It's hid there until he's pleased to reveal it. Have you, Job, have you entered in? Have you entered into the treasures of the snow? And ultimately, that's what led me to this passage here in Psalm 147. Well, consider the work of our Lord in nature. Now, it's not written in scientific terms. You know, all of us was in grade school one time or junior high, and it was explained to us how snows formed. Well, that was interesting at the time, but that won't do us any good, will it? I looked this up. Snow forms when these ice crystals and clouds, they stick together and they become snowflakes. And if enough of them stick together, they become heavy enough to fall to the ground. But that's what science says. Isn't that interesting? Don't you just love? Well, listen. What does God's word say? Here's what I'm interested in. It says, he gives snow. You know what I need to know about snow? That's it right there. He gives it. It comes from his hand. It says he scatters hoarfrost like ashes. Every single granule of ice that descends from the skies, it comes from God. It comes from his hand. He casts it forth like morsels. I looked that up. Just like David cast out that stone out of that sling, there was one destination for it, wasn't it? Huh? Right there between Goliath's eyes. It's that certain. The path of it, every crystal of it, the path is that certain. The path of it is ordered by God. It's his. It's his ice. That's what the word declares. It's his ice. And if we read on in our text, we read of his cold. I'm not a big fan of cold. I like warm weather. But he sends his cold. And it's his. And he sends it where he's pleased to send it. The scriptures declare the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. Well, you know, we're pretty happy when it's 70, 80 degrees out. But listen, even this cold is his. Spurgeon said this. He said, when we feel the cold nipping our limbs and penetrating our garment, it somewhat consoles us and makes us willing to endure its hardness when we remember this. It's his cold, and he sent it. And though we may not like the cold, maybe even troubled by it, it will accomplish his purpose. That snow that falls, it waters the ground. That cold that he sent, it kills some of those bugs that would irritate us in the summertime. He accomplishes his purpose through it. We'll read on. It says he sends out his word. He sends out his word. The thaw's coming. Warm weather's coming. And when it comes, rest assured this, it's because he sent it. Almighty God sends it. He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow. You know, within a week or two of that storm, it was. I drove home with my windows rolled down. It was 75 degrees out. His providence in all things. And you know, if he'd just give us just a little glimpse of it, wouldn't that be a blessing to our hearts? Just a little glimpse of it. Give us grace to praise him in all things. Whether it's sunshine or whether it's an ice storm. Well, consider the ease in which he does these things mentioned here in this passage. He gives snow like wool. Like reaching into a bag of wool and just grabbing a handful of it, and here you go. Those little flakes, he sends it like wool. He scatters hoarfrost like ashes. We burnt some trees yesterday. Ashes don't weigh anything at all, do they? Think about this. Like grabbing those ashes and just casting them in the air. He casts ice like morsels. I think we've raised laying hens since the boys were just little. And they'd love to go out and collect the eggs, but they'd love to go out and feed them because they just reach into that bag of feed. I mean, just barely big enough to get a handful of it. And they cast that feed out. That's how our Lord, that ice that, you think about how that ice, the biggest tree on our land is laying on the ground because that ice fell on it. Something that light, something that tiny, yet he put it on that tree and it just falls over. These telephone poles, they look like toothpicks broke into. His ice. It's his ice. Well, the salt trucks. We had salt trucks driving by our house hour after hour, trying to clear that ice away. All that work, all that labor. Isn't that what we do by nature? Our sin, isn't that what we try to do? All that work, all that labor to try to get rid of it. And we may be able to make it look a little better, but there's still slick spots out there, aren't there? Huh? We can't get rid of it all. We can't even make a dent in it. But in his time, he sends his wind, and he just melts it all. He takes care of it. He puts it away. Salvation is not in our labor. Salvation is not in man's doing or dying. Salvation is of the Lord. Look at Mark chapter 10. Look at verse 23. Mark 10, verse 23. Jesus looked round about and he said to his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and he said to them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished. out of measure, saying among themselves, who then? If a rich man, if a man that has all the means to do these things, if he can't be saved, who then can be saved? And look at verse 27. Jesus looked upon them and he said, with men. With men. With man's doing, with man's dying, with man's works, with man's so-called keeping the law, with man's work, it's impossible. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. He sends forth his word here in our text, back in the psalm there. The Lord sends forth his word and he melts it. This is true of our sin and all of our work. Again, we might look better on the outside, and our neighbors might think a little more of us. I wonder about that sometimes. But listen, only Christ can save. Only when he sends forth his word. Only when he sends forth in his power and he melts it. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. His word goes forth in power. Consider all the noise that man makes. I think about that salt truck going by and those lights flashing and the bump as it hits those little reflectors in the road and a little patch of ice. A lot of noise. A lot of noise and a lot of lights. Works religion. Again, it's works religion. A lot of noise. Something to catch the eye. Huh? Something to catch the ear, maybe. But listen, it cannot. That salt truck can't put away that snow. Go look out on the hills afterwards and see. That snow doesn't melt. That snow's not going until the Lord sends his word. Until he sends his wind. And then he puts it away. Our sin, we can make all the noise we want. We can make all the racket. We can do all these things that men say we should do. But it will not put away sin. That sin's going to be there until he's pleased to put it away. The Lord sends forth his... Think about this. Think about the works of our Lord. Right now, this world spins at 1,000 miles an hour. And listen, not a sound. Not a sound. It's effortless. He does that. He does all these things. At his will and command, the frost and the snow disappear. And then we've seen it here this morning, walking in, those flowers start budding up out of the ground. They spring forth. The birds, we hear the frogs at night, and then we hear the birds start chirping. Well, I didn't bring you here to talk to you about nature this morning. Listen here. Consider the spiritual application in this text. Again, we read back there earlier, the heavens declare what? The glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Look at verse 19 and 20, back here in Psalm again. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. He showeth his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. This speaks of his people. And Jacob, supplanter, thief, The man, if he walked by, you'd immediately reach for your billfold, right? That's who God's pleased to save. He sends forth his word. He showeth his word unto Jacob. Of all folks. Huh? Boy, doesn't that give us hope? Huh? Doesn't that encourage our hearts? Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. The question is not, how could God hate Esau? The question is, how could God love Jacob? Only by his grace. Only by his grace. Consider his word. He sent forth his word. That's what we just read there. The living word. That word which heals. That word which gives peace to the heart. That word which goes forth in power. His word which abides in his people. The living word. The Lord Jesus Christ. He sent forth his word. He sent forth his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That word which was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld him as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Consider the revelation of his word. It says he showeth his word. He reveals his word to his people, to his elect. He sent forth his word to Israel, to Jacob. Paul writing to the Thessalonians, he said, You who are troubled. That gets my attention. Does that speak to you? You who are troubled. Those who are troubled. We can identify with that, can't we? That's who Paul's talking to. He says, you who are troubled, rest. Just rest. Rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed. My friends, unless the Lord's pleased to reveal Christ to us, all the work in this world will never give us rest. There's always something more to be done. But when he sends forth his son, when he sends forth his word and the power of his spirit, he says, rest. Just rest. Rest with us. The Lord Jesus, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed. Think about Simeon when he was there in the temple. He was waiting. Waiting. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Christ was revealed to him, he took him up in his arms and he said this. He said, let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. That was revealed. The Lord Jesus Christ was revealed to him. He saw Christ. The thief on the cross. You know, he saw a man named Jesus. Just like that other thief. And he railed on him. They both railed on him along with everybody else that was there that day. But you know, something happened. Something was revealed to that thief. Not to both of them, but to one of them. That one thief, he said to the other, he said, don't you fear God? Seeing that we're in the same condemnation, and we justly, we deserve to die. We're guilty. That other thief didn't see that, but he did. Something was revealed to him about who he was and what he was. A sinner. Condemned to die. And again, he said justly, we've got this coming to us. But something was also revealed to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, this man, he'd done nothing amiss. He's perfect. He's the spotless Lamb of God. We're guilty. But he's not. You know, there's thinking about this. Do we truly need, I know we need a Savior, but do we know we need a Savior? until we see something of our own guilt and shame and need for Him. You know, I don't make a habit of going to the doctor unless I'm sick, unless I'm in need. Something was revealed to that man. I'm going to die. And I should die. I deserve to die. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, He hath done nothing amiss. That thief's cry was this: Lord, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And what did He tell that thief? He said, today, this very day, you'll be with me in paradise. Over in 1 Peter 1, verse 13, I won't have you turn there, but we read, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation of Him. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Corinthians 1, look at verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's why we preach Christ. That's that He might be pleased to reveal Himself through the preaching of His word. That He might be pleased to reveal Christ in us and Christ to us through the preaching of His word. Well, back to our text, Psalm 147. We read of His praise. He hath not dealt so, verse 20, He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for His judgments, they've not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Praise Him for His electing grace. Jacob have I loved. He could have passed us by. He could have passed Jacob by. He could have passed any of us by and been just and right in doing it. He was pleased to save a few. Praise Him for revealing His word, His truth to us. Praise Him for delivering us. He's brought us from death to life. He delivered us from the wrath to come. In the dead of winter. Winter's kind of an ugly time. You know, there's no leaves on the tree. There's no flowers. In the dead of winter, we just read that in Psalm 147, even then, he causes His wind to blow. Turn to John chapter 3, verse 8. John chapter 3 and verse 8. The wind. See that in verse 8? The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. His wind. He causes His wind to blow. His wind, His spirit, it's invisible. Can't see it. Now you see the effects of it, but we can't see the wind blowing. But you can see the effects of it. You can feel the effects of it. And His wind, His spirit is sovereign. The wind is beyond man's control. The wind doesn't consult with us or ask us where it should blow. It blows where it listeth. It blows where it pleaseth. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he. He does what he pleases in earth, in heaven, and in all deep places. The wind, the Spirit of God, it's irresistible. You know, when the wind blows in its power, it can knock over everything in its path. It conquers everything in its path. And when Almighty God, when he's pleased to send forth its Spirit, even the most rebellious, boy, he can put us on the dirt, can't he? Huh? He can knock, put us down, and then he raises up. The Lord does these. He does these things. He can break our pride. He can conquer our will. He can cause us to fall at his feet. Well, turn with me to one more passage of Scripture over in Ezekiel 37. His wind. Ezekiel 37, look, beginning with verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. I remember Henry preaching a message one time. He said if a dog walked by, he wouldn't even pick up one of those bones. It's so dry. It's dead. Dead. Dry and dead. The valley of dry bones. No life. Look at verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? What a question. What a question. Can these old, dry, dead bones live? Job asked, he said, if a man die, can he live again? Can these bones, can they live? What's the answer? Look at the rest of verse 3 there. O Lord God, thou knowest. There's one who knows. He knows. He's the one who gives life. And the Spirit of the Lord said, preach to them. Huh? Not give them something to do. Not tell them to. Imagine if he would have said that, just tell those bones to take a step. Huh? That's foolishness, isn't it? Huh? No, he said this. He said, preach to them. Declare the truth to them. Declare. And the Lord God said, I'll cause breath to enter into them. I'll give life. Where there was nothing but death, now there's going to be life. Look at verse 6. He said, I'll lay sinews upon you, and I'll bring up flesh upon you, and I'll cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you. Two things here. The results of what, listen, he does. Be very clear about that. This work is the work of salvation. It's his work. And he said, you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7, I prophesied as I was commanded, preached to those dry bones. Huh? It pleased God by the foolishness. Isn't that what his word says? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. One of the last commands he gave that prophet, he said, say to the wind. Whose wind is it? We just read. It's his wind, isn't it? Say to the wind, come from the four winds and breathe, oh, breathe and breathe upon these slain that they might live. That word breathe, it means blow. Isn't that what we just read here in Psalm 147? He causes his wind to blow. Breathe and blow upon these slain that they may live. And he said, I prophesied as I was commanded, and breath came unto them. And what was the result? Life. They lived. They lived. He caused his wind to blow. And the result was life. God gave life. He gives life through his Son. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our life. Turn back there to Psalm one more time with me. Psalm 147. Verse 16 again. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoar frost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters to flow. Well, may he be pleased to continue to send forth his snow and ice and cold. But may he also be pleased to continue to send forth his wind to blow. I was thinking about what your pastor used to talk about, that fork. He said, hang on to your fork, right? Something better's coming. Well, in the cold and dead of winter, which we experience not just in the what we call winter year round, all might we be encouraged by this. Spring's coming. Huh? Spring's coming. He's gonna send forth, and when that spring comes forth, there's life. We see life. He causes his wind to blow. And when he sends forth his word and the power of his spirit, there's life. He that hath the Son hath life. Well, I pray he bless his word to our hearts here this morning.